Our next case for this morning is United States against Stevenson. Mr. Petrow.
Good morning, Judge. Opposing counsel, good morning. Judge, I'm here on the case of United States versus Robert Stevenson. I represent the appellant, Robert Stevenson. In effect, Judge, I would like to say that this case is about Carl Edwards. Carl Edwards, to the extent that United States versus Carl Edwards seems to control the ruling in this case, but also more importantly, Carl Edwards is the person that sold the drugs to my client in this particular case. What we have here is a relevant conduct calculation by the district court that includes 1 kilogram of crack cocaine over a period of 5 or 6 years. As the court well knows, or if the court does not know, Mr. Edwards was resentenced and he received 24 months. It does not seem to be fair in this particular situation, since Edwards is the person that dealt with my client, that my client would receive a sentence in excess of 15 years.
Unlike your client, however, Mr. Edwards did not self-identify as being a crack dealer, as opposed to, later on Mr. Stevenson was talking about cocaine base, but earlier he said, I'm a crack dealer. He described himself as purchasing crack from Carl Edwards. So the record is different here.
The record is different, Judge, but ultimately, if it's not relevant conduct for the goose, it shouldn't be relevant conduct for the gander.
Every case has its own record, I'm afraid.
I would just cite the court to United States versus Bullock, where Mr. Bullock received a 100-year sentence, and there was an extensive discussion as to what relevant conduct was for the purposes of drug cases. And in that case, it cited the Palmer case, but it seemed to suggest that once you get past 2 years, that they're very, very wary of using that type of relevant conduct to change a person's sentence at that point. In effect, Mr. Stevenson pled guilty to two offenses, one on July 19th of 2001 and one on August 2nd of 2001. The total amount of the substances that were claimed in that particular case is 92.4 grams. To then take 92.4 grams and blow it up, Judge, as it has been in this particular circumstance, seems to be erroneous in this particular case. This is a very, very troubling case, Judge, in certain respects because of the definition of crack cocaine, which I've alluded to in my argument. And if you look at the definition of crack cocaine, it's not really defining what crack cocaine is. It's saying that this is what it isn't. And it's very, very difficult for the practitioner at this point, Judge, because the district court's decision seemed to implicate that forensic science doesn't make a difference as to whether it's cocaine, crack cocaine. The purity doesn't seem to make a difference as to whether it's crack cocaine. The method of preparation doesn't seem to make a difference as to whether it's crack cocaine or cocaine base. The color and the texture seem to not make a difference as to what is crack cocaine. Well, what is crack cocaine? Well, apparently the guidelines seem to suggest that it's usually prepared by processing cocaine hydrochloride with sodium bicarbonate, and it usually appears in a lumpy rock-like form. And any time you have two usuallys in one definition, Judge, you're going to have a lot of vagueness and a lot of vagaries. And how does that apply to Mr. Stevenson's case? Well, I think at a basic level, there are due process concerns involved here because as Apprendi, and I'm sure you're familiar with Apprendi, this amount of cocaine base, Judge, is a very, very small sentence, a sentence like Mr. Edwards received, 24 months. But when you put the words crack cocaine in there and the practitioner is forced to make assessments as to what crack cocaine is, it does implicate due process concerns because of mandatory minimum sentences. That's it in a nutshell, Judge. This is very, very difficult because 841 does not define what cocaine base is. The Seventh Circuit has defined what cocaine base is. And 841 applies to crack cocaine only. This causes a tremendous amount of confusion in the district courts. If you read the Edwards decision, it specifically says that, look, we have a problem here. There's a stratification among the circuits in the United States, but we also have, in a more basic level, Judge, a stratification here in the building as to what a particular judge defines as crack cocaine and what a particular judge doesn't defines as crack cocaine in a different courtroom right here in this circuit. And that's what I think is troubling from this perspective in this particular case, Judge, is that there is a stratification. There's clearly a problem as to this definition. It's clearly affecting people's rights. And based on that, Judge, I'm asking that you reverse and remand Mr. Stevenson's sentence for resentencing.
Okay. Thank you. Miller?
May it please the Court, Counsel. In this case, the district court got it right. The 180-month sentence was within an advisory guideline range for a lifetime self-admitted crack cocaine dealer. The district court examined all of the proof at sentencing. He examined the manner and course of dealing with a confidential source, and it applied the law of this circuit, which is the Edwards case. And as your honors know, in Edwards, this court decided and told district courts to look at a variety of factors, not just the method of preparation, not just the substance of the cocaine, not just the purity level, but also the people who are the, quote, real experts, end quote, in crack cocaine dealing, namely confidential informants, people who buy and sell crack cocaine, the agents who are on the street working these cases, and the defendants themselves. And in this case, the district court had all of that information to work with. It had a confidential source who only referred to the drugs as crack cocaine when he dealt with the defendant. It had admissions in a post-arrest statement to a probation officer, and then also at a change of plea colloquy by the defendant that he was a crack cocaine dealer. It also had the pricing of the drugs, which was consistent with crack, the packaging of the drugs, which was consistent with crack, and constant discussions that this was crack cocaine. In short, this is a crack cocaine case and not something else. Mr. Petro raised the fact that this should be more like Edwards and less like Stevenson, I guess, is his argument. But as the district court correctly found, there was substantially different evidence presented to the court at sentencing in the Edwards case. There was an expert presented by the defense who said, this is not crack cocaine. That wasn't present in Mr. Stevenson's sentencing. There was a plethora of evidence that it was, in fact, crack cocaine and nothing to the contrary. Also, as Judge Wood, you pointed out, there was no admission in Edwards by the defendant that he was a crack cocaine dealer, much less a kilogram crack cocaine dealer. Those two factors take this very distinct case and make it very different from Edwards. With respect to the relevant conduct, Mr. Petro touched briefly on this, and I want to address it. The guidelines say that you can be held, that you shall be held accountable for all drug dealing that is the same course of conduct. In his post-arrest statement, Mr. Stevenson admitted to being a kilogram quantity dealer of cocaine in the same city in which the two convicted offenses were, with the same buyers and sellers, and in the same manner as all of his other courses of dealing. In short, he's directly in the spotlight of the guidelines, what the guidelines tell the judge to consider. The judge did consider that, and frankly, a kilogram of cocaine in this instance would be a conservative estimate. With respect to the constitutionally vague argument, this court has upheld the definition of cocaine base in Blanding. This court refused or declined to reconsider that issue in Edwards. With respect to that argument, it has to be applied to Mr. Stevenson. As I've said, Mr. Stevenson admitted he was a crack cocaine dealer. He pled guilty to knowingly and intentionally selling cocaine base in the form of crack cocaine. It's not vague, therefore, with respect to Mr. Stevenson. He doesn't believe it's vague. This court shouldn't either. If there are no questions, I'd ask you to please affirm the decision of the district court as it was not clearly erroneous. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Petro?
Just briefly, Judge. The relevant conduct in this particular case comes from one sentence of an interview with my client where he estimated that he had purchased approximately 1 kilogram of cocaine over the last 5 or 6 years period. Based on that, Judge, that is the only thing that was ever in anything with respect to Mr. Stevenson's relevant conduct, Judge. There is no details as to when or where that occurred or how it occurred, and I think that without the definiteness of when it occurred, where it occurred, or some type of calculation by the district court as to where the geography was, or things along those lines, the things you look at with respect to relevant conduct, I think that it's not definite enough to assign or attribute that amount to Mr. Stevenson. The only thing that the court seems to suggest in its memorandum opinion is that there was a common victim involved, which would be drug purchasers in the city of Evanston, Judge. I do not think that that is enough, and I would ask that it be reversed and remanded.
All right. Thank you. And you were appointed, were you not?
Yes, I was. Thank you.
Appreciate very much your service to the court and to your client. And thank you as well. So we'll take the case under advisement.